Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyami. Today we have the privilege of learning Mizmor Nunhei, the 55th Psalm in the Book of Tehillim, together. As you may have noticed, in the last few Tehillim from Nun Aleph onwards, there have been stories about particular events in the life of David which he expands outwards for all of us to connect to. So as we start learning through this, we should be thinking to ourselves, who in David's life could this be referring to? Who are we talking about? Let's start together. This Mizmor, in terms of overview and structure, is also the fourth and last of the group of Mizmorim, which start with the words Lamnatzeach, Maskil, David. There are sometimes a few words in between that, but those three words form a group of four of Lamnatzeach, Maskil, David, and this is the fourth of them. In terms of the overview, it is made up of 24 psukim with two main sections. The first pasuk is its kotevet, its introduction, which is Lamnatzeach b'neginos, maskil David. It is for the conductor with a neginos, a maskil for David. And the two sections are essentially the following. Pasuk Beis 2, Tes Zayin, 2 to 16, forms the first section in which David HaMelech calls out a prayer to be heard from against his enemies. And psukim Yud Zayin to Chavdalad, 17 to 24, are the assurity that his tefillah will be heard. In terms of the central theme, the Mizmor is said by somebody who is praying desperately to Hashem. The person is found being persecuted by the enemies, evildoers, and trying to escape. This person feels a sense of personal plight, but also communal plight. So the concerns that he is expressing is not simply his own concern, but the fact that the city around him is also burning in destruction. But more than simply the persecution of the enemies, the what seems to really be hurting the narrator, the Meshorer, is the betrayal of somebody very, very close to him. Somebody whose words and actions are not in parity, who is displaying a level of betrayal which shows that all their previous actions of love have been, in fact, retroactively undermined. In terms of this, just to contrast the two sections, one to the other, the tone of the first section is one of worry and concern. The tone of the second section seems to be more of a change of tone of knowing trust, knowing that Hashem will ultimately redeem one. They actually begin and end in very similar ways. So for instance, the beginning of Pasuk Beis is Ha'azino lekim tefilasi v'alti salem mitchinasi. Hashem, listen to my prayer and don't hide yourself from my supplication. The second section starts with Ani el Elokim ekra v'Hashem yosheni. I will call out to Hashem, Hashem will save me. So there's the calling out at the beginning. It's just in the second section, it's more of a sense of trust that it will be answered. And the first section ends Pasuk Dezayin of Yerdu Sheol Chayim Ki Ro'ez B'Mugurom B'Kirbom. These people will descend to the netherworld. These evildoers will ultimately be punished and sent down. And in the last pasuk of the second section, which is the last pasuk of the Mizmor, Vatarlekim Tori Demi Vershachas and Shein Damim Mirma, that you're going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring down these people of deceit, of blood and deceit, or money and deceit, and they won't even make half of their days. And I trust in you. So they really are structured similarly, and both of them are talking about evil in general from the outside, but also evil from the inside, referring to the person, the friend, the close friend who has betrayed the Meshorer. Which leads us to the next question, which is, what is the event behind this Mizmor? Who is this talked about? If the Meshorer is in fact David, is not attributed just as a psalm to David, but it is actually David HaMelech himself saying it, then who exactly is the person who betrayed him? So we've seen a number of people so far in David HaMelech's life, which he has used as in a certain sense, archetypes of characters of people we meet in our lives. So the question of rebuke of Natan HaNavi when it came to his son with Bathsheba was one of them. We saw Daiga Adami, we saw Naval, we saw the Zifim, different people in David HaMelech's life who is able to create archetypes out of who is this person. So if you read the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Gimel, the Mishnah tells us a very fascinating thing. And this Mizmor is referring to a person by the name of Achitofel. Who exactly was Achitofel? Achitofel was, in fact, one of David HaMelech's closest advisors and friends. And he was David HaMelech's right-hand man in so many ways until Avshalom, David HaMelech's son, rebelled against him. At which point, Achitofel nimbly switched sides and became, not only did he defect, but he became Avshalom's closest advisor. He gave Avshalom advice that if Avshalom had successfully listened to it, the end of this section of history would have looked very vastly different. David HaMelech would have been killed. It was when David HaMelech was running from Avshalom, from Yerushalayim, he was running eastwards towards the Jordan River. Achitofel said immediately, don't let David HaMelech wait. Don't wait, don't hold your troops. Send and go out right now while they're tired. And fortunately, David HaMelech had a man inside who was able to give other advice to Avshalom, and Avshalom ultimately listened to that other advice. But Achitophel was bent, it seems, upon David's destruction, even though he was David HaMelech's closest confidant in his own cabinet. That's perhaps explains some of the disappointment, the pain expressed about the betrayal, which is expressed in this mizmor. There's one extra additional point which is important to be aware of in terms of who Achitophel was. If you read later Tanakh, you will notice that Achitophel was the father of a person called Eliam. Eliam was the father of a person by the name of Bathsheba. So it should also be important to understand that there is a much more complex relationship over here. Where David HaMelech's relationship with Bathsheba at the time when there was still a relationship with her husband is something which is complex. It creates a complex relationship with David HaMelech and his own Achitophel, which turns into a much more complex relationship when Achitophel has loyalties which can be divided. And that's what seems to be happening over here. And this is David HaMelech's reaction to that. It should be noted that the Gemara does also expand this to other people as well. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Vavam Beis, talks about how this could also be referring to Doeg. Doeg was also a person who betrayed David in many ways. And at the same time, it wasn't as if Doeg was ever a close person to David. He was always the nemesis. So it's a less painful description if that's the way to read it. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos Perek Hey, Mishnah Yotes, does also use this mizmor in Tehillim to explain that this refers to the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha, referring to when trying to contrast the difference between the Talmidim of Avram Avinu, the students of Abraham, and the students of Bilam HaRasha. One of the examples it says is the difference is that as the Mishnah says, Talmidehem shel Bilam HaRasha yorshim gehinom v'yordim lever shachas. They go into the netherworld, they enter into gehinom, into a state of punishment. How do we know this? Because the last pasuk in this mizmor, v'ato lekim toridim lever shachas. So it's talking about the ultimate corrupt individual, the ultimate narcissistic, self-centered individual, which could be expanded more than simply a person in David HaMelech's life. In terms of places in the Tefillah, this does appear, although the whole mizmor does not appear in our tefillah. Nonetheless, little pieces of it certainly do. As an example, just a few examples. Our Davidoi is service, and our Anenu on a fast day borrows the Pasuk Beis, which is Ha'azino Lekim Tefillah. See, listen to my tefillah, V'altisalem mitchinosi, and don't hide from my supplication. Altisalem mitchinosi is something which is used in multiple times in Slichos. Then, for instance, Psukim Zayin to Ches are used by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in his famous Kina, which is said on Tisha B'Av, Tzion Halo Tishali. They're built on these two psukim, which go, V'omar mi ten li aver kayona o ufo ve'eshkoina. He asks, who would give me wings like a dove that I can fly away and rest? Hinei archik nedoido linba mi bar sela, that I should be able to distance myself and live in the wilderness. That is what the sort of imagery that is used by Rabbi Yehuda Levi. If you look to Pasuk Gimel, this also relates to the part of the central part of the Kina of Hakarishi Mimeni Va'adabera, which is about the Crusades, which the Pasuk reads, Hakshivali Va'aneni, listen to me and answer me, Arid Besichi Va'ima. I'm tossed about complaining and moaning. That word Va'ima is certainly a central word, not only in that Kina, but in many of the Kinas as well. So the Pasuk Tezvav, as an example, is something which is said in many Nuscha'ot when entering a shul, Asher, which goes, Beveis Elokim Nahalech Baragesh. When we go to the house of God, we walk with Ragesh, which means feeling, with passion. We don't just arrive, we don't just roll out of bed into shul. We have a mission to be there. We want to converse with Hashem. This is our starting point. This is how we recalibrate ourselves every day, at the beginning and the end. This is what Beis Knesset is. It is interesting, as a side note, that the word Baragesh is actually an acronym for four things, which is Barad, Ruach, Geshem, and Sheleg. That is Beis, Reish, Gimel, Shin. Barad is hail, Ruach is winds, Geshem is rain, and Sheleg is snow. Sounds even better than the U.S. Postal Service, that we go to shul no matter what the specific, no matter what the temperature or the weather conditions are outside. This is how we enter the house of Hashem. In the process called Hatavas Chalom, if a person has a repeating bad dream, there is a Hatavas Chalom, annulling a bad dream, which is found in the back of most Sidurim. And one of the Pesukim which is said in this is Pasuk Yotes, which is Padav V'Shalom Nafshi Mikarovli Kivarabim Hoyu Imadi. Hashem, may redeem me and let me come unharmed from the battles against me. And as if they're on my side, but many people are on my side. One pasuk in the spotlight, just briefly, and we'll close with this, is pasuk Chof Dalet, a very famous pasuk, which is Va'atoy Elokim Toridem Levir Shachas An Shei Damim Mirmad Lo Yechetsu Yemeyam Ani Avtach Boy. But you, O God, will bring them down to the pit of destruction. Men of bloodshed and deceit will not live out half their days. But as for me, I will trust in you. This is actually, of course, a familiar pasuk because it appears at the end of every siyum. When a person does the hadran at the end of finishing masechta or a large amount of learning, this pasuk is used as part of that conclusion paragraph said at the end. What does it mean when we say, Lo yachetzu yameihem, that evil people, their days will not be halved? They will not even reach half their days. So the Gemara says that, and it goes and does a cheshbon. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if you look at the lives of Achitophel and Doeg, they didn't live very long lives ultimately, and that's what it means, that ultimately David HaMelech's specific enemies were given very short life. However, the Limikute Moharan, that's Rabbi Nachman of Breslau, says a remarkable thing. And he says that people, Anshei Damim, it doesn't just mean people of blood, but it also mean Damim as in value, people who chase money, people who chase deceit. He says, Nofel letavas mamma v'yomov kalim biridifa achar moisrois. Their lives will finish not even halfway before they arrive at what they wanted. Meaning to say, they will spend their lives chasing something they will never get. Just as they get one thing, they experience the satiation for a split second of getting what is outside of them, but ultimately seeing it as the locus of happiness is not actually found internally, but externally. Therefore, the moment something is internalized, is bought, is acquired, is conquered, is stolen, then at that point in time, it no longer has the refreshing aspect to it, no longer has the allure, and a person carries on chasing that ultimately ever-moving horizon, which will never allow them to reach the end of the days with any sense of happiness. The non-mindful, the unmindful, mindless life led by those searching something outside of them. And that's perhaps the curse, not of a consequence, not a punishment for people who live such lives. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.